Coming to order. Okay. Who wants to do the flag salute? Please, because last time I screwed it up so bad. I wasn't ready.
I'll do the flag salute.
Okay.
Hand on heart, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, any public comment?
No, of course.
Since there's no public. Opening items. We are not approving this. This is already a fact, right? Appointment of Bill Underwood as new
Yes, city that's just treasurer. Bill is the new city treasurer by action of the city council. So he's got a, was it a 2-year term, right, Bill? Or is it,
pardon?
How many year term do we make it?
At the city council meeting, the city manager informed me it was 4 years.
Lifetime.
Oh, is that right?
Wow.
And he said he didn't say that to me earlier.
Don't tell him it's 4 years is a lifetime.
I told him.
And a former 3-time mayor tells me it's a lifetime. And Dennis Kulai had 20 years at it. And
how many?
20.
Oh, wow.
And,
isn't that something?
Our John Bogart had 2 years at it, I believe.
Yeah, about 2 years.
So I'm shooting for the 2 months.
I think you should shoot for the 20 years.
Well, I heard it was a bitter contested election.
No, there were a couple of
were there?
Candidates.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
The city's in good hands. You're going to do great, Bill.
In good hands because you've got the fantastic finance director.
Yeah.
One of my goals.
Well, we're a team.
We've had 3 great finance directors in a row. With Michelle and the auditor and controller, current auditor and controller of Orange County, and a highly experienced Orange County. So with that, one of my goals as treasurer, which I talked to Jim about, he's there already too, is to make sure we systematize that, document the processes. So in case we happen to hit on a 4th finance director who's not a superstar like the last 3 have.
Oh, we'll make sure we get a superstar.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm planning my exit already. Yeah.
So anything we can do to automate the reports, anything we can do to take out some of the work out of it because there aren't a lot of assistants. And then Jim's got a great, describe the audit, the intern type of area, not intern, but the,
Of what we basically did, use one of our management analysts, one of our young management analysts, Alyssa, basically, and she's helping me out doing some of the more of the routine AP, cash receipts, that kind of stuff. So we're taking stuff, some of that routine stuff, lower level stuff off my desk and giving it to her. So we've, created some additional resources and for the city, and she's able to handle that within her workload and frees me up to do some, slightly higher stuff.
It's a great idea from our segregation duties as well as doing the routine offer. We hire high-level managers, ask them to do routine work as well as managing. So I think it's a great idea.
And the other thing, the council just approved, and Jim and I have been talking about this for 2 years, since he's been here, about automating the budget system. So the council approved buying a budget system that can integrate with our financial system, which will again speed up imagine a bunch of Excel spreadsheets that are not connected. And that's what we used to use. And because over the years, 4 different finance directors have done 4 different sets of things and houses, you lose the connection and the connectivity. So anyway, we've got a ClearGov is a system that we have bought in, and they're hoping to have it all done by February, right?
Oh yeah, should be by February. One of the things I think that is going to be a different or neat, this is going to, we're going to have a transparency portal, we'll be able to put on our web page. You'll be able to basically dive into it, drill down basically in our budget, see what's building those numbers, which we don't have now, otherwise, unless you want to start putting down our CAFR or our budget basically. So that'll be a,
cool. If you need interns, let me know. I have a contacts in the finance,
We can always use free labor.
Students aren't applying that much.
Seriously,
now, I know teachers and I can get them to get their best students,
We have used interns pretty regularly right now. We have 2 interns, and it's been really valuable. We're so small that
I could get you a finance major. Not know anything about
that's up to Jim. Whatever Jim, I don't want.
Anyway, let me know if you need any help with that.
Anyway, a lot of creative things going on.
Okay, we're selecting a new chair because Bill was chair.
And vice chair, too. He's chair and vice chair, so we need to have someone to replace you if you become chair.
Well, don't jump the gun here. Are there any nominations for chair?
Hey, the polls out there have already...
AP's already called it.
She has.
I'd like to make a nomination for Lynn as chair.
Okay. I'll second that. Okay.
Joe to be vice chair? Would you be willing to be vice chair, Joe?
Okay.
Since you laughed at my joke.
Yes.
Awesome.
Great. Okay.
Perfect.
Any other nominations? We're doing two concurrent elections here, chair and vice chair. There seems to be a slate of candidates. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes to have me as chair and vice chair as Joe. Mm-hmm. Okay. Approval of the minutes. Do I have some reaction minutes here? You got a chance
they
to
look good
them?
To me since I wasn't here.
Yeah, you weren't here. So we got that right. And anything else? Anybody know me? Oh, you look at the back. Okay. And motion to approve the minutes?
The only thing I saw was I thought we ended up maybe with a little different direction on the, maybe it's not even in here now, it seemed like it was before. I thought we'd move to present to the council that we were going to move up to the next level in the PARS investment rather than being the moderate, we were going to be in the moderate high or something.
Oh, I remember that.
And I think
somehow I heard it somewhere.
I don't know that we finalized the decision.
I'm fine. Leave it the way it is.
I'll propose
it again.
Yeah,
I think Bill Campbell and I were fine with it. You were neutral, said whatever Aaron got written up the other way. So it's fine. We'll revisit that one when we get that together.
So anybody move approval?
I wasn't there. I'll abstain.
Okay, you moved. And second? Can you second, Bill?
I think I'm an ex officio member, so I can't do anything
Brad?
Official.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there.
Right.
Okay, I second. I guess I can second.
Yes, you can second.
Motion seconded.
Yeah. Okay, approved and approved. Okay, the meeting future meeting dates are okay with everybody.
Well, you jumped. I think you jumped
well, we
down.
Jumped I'm sorry. Approval of the minutes.
An update to the council. Actually, I just wanted to report that Mr. Rice has joined us now.
Yes.
And he's he was graciously opted in. We didn't tell him what the duties were. We just sort of opted him in.
I'm not supposed to start till January.
You have a new chair.
Well, I just want to back up. The 2-9 date is okay for everybody.
I think you're on do you have the...
Am I on the wrong... You have the minutes.
Yeah, you have the minutes. There you go.
Okay. Sorry.
So Mr. Rice has joined us, and I think we still have one short member, as I recall. We're one member short.
One or two.
So I think, and you remember me. So if
we can't have two more.
Yeah, and Bill would be here normally, but Bill's just not a Bill.
Right. So we're still one short with Bill.
Yes,
and Bill Campbell reported back that he talked to the candidate he had, he said no right up front. So he said, no, I'm not doing any more because he
sounded like a definite.
Mr. Rice is having second thoughts down there now.
I got time. I'm not.
It's so anyway, not even a time consuming.
Yeah.
So just Bill, the getting up early.
Okay. So if you have any candidates, I think we need to do
one more.
We'd like to get one more. That would be good. But I mean, I think we're fine. We've got a very strong nucleus, and I think we're ready to go forward. And a lot of continuity. And, Bill joins as an ex officio, which is really nice.
Yeah.
As treasurer, so we don't lose the history and the continuity of that,
absolutely.
And he can help us fill in. So we're pretty fortunate, and all of you all have obviously been here for a while. So,
yeah, and the letter I wrote to the council, I think we've got the strongest committee. When you take forget our big heads, but when you take them individually, the background we have here versus the tasks we have to do, I mean, we're well suited. We could probably take on lots more, but I didn't mention that at all. Yeah, so. And the committee structures a lot of committees have gone away because they've kind of streamlined the committees quite a bit. Our state, thanks to our city manager pushing and saying, keep it going. So even though we don't have city council member on board, any of our councilmen. We have a former one, and we keep that communication going. And then the communication is through Steve back to the council.
It's real helpful. I know Jim and I really appreciate what all you do. So, okay, then. We'll go to the investment performance.
You're done with your update? Okay. Okay, I have, we're supposed to revise
the... Do you want to have Jim do his, I think you jumped, item C?
Oh, okay.
It's okay.
I thought you did that.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't.
Okay, our investment portfolio, you treasury report for September, which is the last one you have completed. Again, as we've... There's extra copies, basically.
Yeah. Do you want one?
No, I just didn't. Oh, okay. See, Joe didn't have one. I was thinking of getting what he's got. Yeah,
I've got it right here.
Okay, you're doing the treasurer's report?
Yeah, treasurer's report. Again, we're probably a little light as compared to past years. Some of our CDs have matured, and instead of reinvesting those at really low rates, we've invested them in the county investment pool, which is basically earning similar rates. I've noticed some of the rates going up, but figure we continue that that flexibility until we see, you know, rates going in there and start locking in.
They should keep
going. Yeah, because the new CDs still even.
We did. Right? I did purchase a couple of new CDs over the since we last met. We got those Sally Mae CDs, couple of them for
0.55 and 0.7.
Yeah.
That's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, especially when we have $1 million sitting at 0.05.
Yeah, I know.
But it is basically similar to what we're getting with the investment pool. So is, I mean, I don't know what that difference is. We want to see a half a point and start moving it from the investment pool into
it's
CDs.
Keep going up.
I would think so.
You would think.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, 0.55 until July of 24.
That's totally.
But you remember, our third objective, our third priority objective is rate. Right. Our first one is preservation of capital.
Safety.
Our second one is liquidity. Mm. And our third one is rate. So we really don't chase rate. We just ride the time and it will come back.
True.
So with inflation coming, and I actually believe different than the Fed Reserve guy, who should be smarter than I am, that inflation's here to stay. When I went to, I was at the airport the other day, and if you want to work at John Wayne Airport or McDonald's and be a brand new hire, you would get $18 an hour.
Jeez.
If you want to work in West Hollywood, their new one is going to be $18.24 minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the B of A.
How much
in
are those
Texas,
hamburgers going to be for us to pay for? Right?
The, B of A in Texas,
the robots will be cooking them.
Their minimum wage is $21 for 2021, and we're moving to $25 for 2025. So it's hard. And my son's a CFO of a major corporation down there. He's doing the budget. He says, it doesn't look like to me inflation's going to go away. I mean, it's hard to take that away.
Yeah, how are they going to retract that?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't see that.
So I think that plays well that fixed income people will go. The rates will go up. The actual money you have in your pocket probably stays the same because inflation eats it up. So. So we'll see those rates go up, I think, over time.
That's right.
But we'll keep doing the laddering and doing over time and averaging them out.
But I think, Steve, we should start paying our interns a little bit more.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you pay them?
We pay 20 hours for, we pay two positions 20 hours each.
$15
an hour. They're students. I mean, it goes
they
right to their
degree anyway because they want to learn. It's experience.
Maybe finance major.
Yeah. And actually, all of them have gone on, almost every single one of them has gone on to nicer jobs and full-time
jobs.
Yeah,
no, it's a very interesting experience on the resume because it's different.
Absolutely.
It's, these governmental accounting, have being exposed to that. They don't get any exposure in the academic world.
And
that.
What's nice, too, is that since we're such a small city, and Brad knows this, we do everything that Anaheim, Los Angeles does. We just do it with baling wire and duct tape.
Yeah,
because we're so
but
small.
We still do it.
But we do everything.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the housing element, we've got
experience.
The planning, we've got zoning variances, we've got budget, we've got CAFR, we've got,
all those state reports we have to file. Yeah.
All those things the bigger agencies do, so they're involved in everything. So they it's very rare that an intern would have interaction with a city council member, but here it's like first name basis because we're only eight people, so it's the interaction. So it's really a nice
city manager, city clerk sitting here too.
Yeah, that's right.
and I set up the tables for the But I mean, I think that that's a unique opportunity for the people here, and they can go on for the intern. So Lynn, it is we've never had we've always had good candidates, and they've always moved on. Alyssa, we try and peel off the ones where we can. We just don't have a big organization, so it's rare. Yeah. But Alyssa's
no, but it's good on their general resume when they graduate. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, if you ever have trouble,
good for all.
Can talk to some professors, and I can steer the good ones.
What is our plan for the cash as we? I mean, I don't know how much we're going to be using for some special projects here in the near term, or when do we pull the trigger and move some maybe out into, you know, other.
That's a great question, and that's sort of kind of guidance I'm looking for. You know, what are we? Is there a trigger? Do we want to wait till we're half a point above what we're getting in the investment pool? Right, county investment pool?
We don't have any major investments for this year, right? Except for the sewer.
But the sewer's paid for. Yeah,
sewer's paid for. So we don't have any major. The road project will be 2022-23. So we have just a design element this year, which is $100,000 or somewhere in that range.
That, yeah.
But a little less than that, but still, but we're not, you know, so it's just salaries this year, really only, and that's what we're talking about. So, I mean, and you know, again, the issue with cash too is Joe, is we don't get our property tax until December, January is when we get our first increment, really, right?
Actually, the first one should be later this month.
Just thinking, and I think you understood as to what is a trigger point that we say, okay, we'll take some more of that and we'll get. You know,
yeah, we moved some of the funds out of LAIF, which is basically earning pretty much almost nothing, and we got $900,000 in there. We do have a couple of their CDs coming up next year. Yeah, next year I think we've got one in January. Mm-hmm. Morgan Stanley, we're losing that 1.7%, and then we've got next August we've got the Comenti Bank.
So what is? I mean, I don't know what you're.
So we try to ladder them. So we have that second goal is liquidity. So should we have an unexpected slide on the hill or underwater issue, we can have the liquidity there. So without having to screw around. So if you look at the maturity dates, they're from 22 to 24 right now. Generally, we'd have a 5-year maturity that every 6 months.
No, I understand that. Yeah, okay. I'm just still seeing a lot that's in pure cash there.
Short-term investments. Those are pretty liquid. So
well, the cash, we have cash on deposit, which is fairly large.
Mm-hmm.
Short-term.
Yeah, that's going to go down, basically moving around some money there. So we'll look at the next.
So what's the usual level we have in the operating accounts?
But, I mean, should we be considering, like,
money?
The next, you know, the next amount, or if rates go up to a certain point, we want to pull a trigger on something, or say, hey, you know what, we're not going to do anything more than a year maturity?
I've looked at shorter maturities. I think the one we bought recently are either 2 to 3 years, because we're locked in, you know, I mean, we're basically at 0.55 or 0.7, so we've got a little shorter maturity as opposed to 5 years. Those are great questions, and the kind of, you know, advice or, you know, feedback I'm looking for you guys.
I noticed you didn't provide us with a balance sheet. What are our liabilities? I mean, we have, what, $5 million in liquid assets, but what are our liabilities?
We can always basically do that, but your liabilities basically just the general overall, it's operating expenses.
We have
$2 million emergency reserve in there. Mm-hmm. That we built up. So part of this, basically, you're looking at is your $2 million reserve, and then basically everything else that's reserved for various other projects.
We have the only real significant debt was the unfunded liability, and I think for our pension issues, and that is at $180,000 or something. What did we figure that?
You mean the current cash value now?
No. Yeah, the cash value now on that. UAAL, yeah. You know what I'm saying. I got the acronym wrong. But basically, since we're such a small staff, and the city has never, and I don't believe during my tenure, will borrow any money, so we have no pending debt. So there is no, it's only just operating expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with respect to operating expenses, half of our budget, half to two-thirds, goes to law enforcement. And that's an ongoing monthly payment that we pay out for the sheriff to contract with. And the rest is just our staff salaries here. And that's just literally all we have. We own the building. We don't have any debt payment on anything. You know, we didn't haven't borrowed or we
We don't have any mortgage or anything like that, so we're in.
Do we do a fund accounting for the like the those cars? The
Our fleet basically is fully depreciated. Probably be looking, and we are starting to reserve some money for replacement. Of, yeah.
They were the trucks were purchased most recently in 2014, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, that's what I was.
And the two sedans were gifts to the city, so we never had to do anything there. Mm-hmm. So we only had three vehicles that we paid for, and all three of them are less than 10 years old. And because of the city being so small, we don't put mileage on the kind of mileage on them that you would put on.
So we don't do any fund accounting for those things, like putting in a monthly, equivalent to.
No, the last couple of years I've been here, basically we've bumped up the reserve for the replacement vehicle $5,000 per year. So we got that. They're fully depreciated. We're not depreciating.
We are looking at one of the things we're looking at is some of the federal money is allow you the opportunity to maybe purchase electric vehicles so we could potentially replace our fleet, but that's the way the guidelines came out on the most recent, the American Relief Act didn't have the allowance, but I mean, they're saying that the future might. So if that's the case, we'll purchase replacement vehicles that come from, federal money or whatever, and it won't be ours.
Yeah, electric would make sense. I mean, this is the city especially,
Because you don't have that many miles to go.
Yeah,
hundred miles or 200 mile range is no problem for us.
Yes,
absolutely. It could last a week in one charge. And in Edison, there are stipends to put in electric rebates and things to put in charging stations. So we've been approached about putting in a charging station, but there's no real need to put in a charging station.
Yeah. Oh, get it.
That does make good sense.
So we're kind of thinking on those.
So absolutely. You could put a charging station in and then charge people who want it while they're
The interesting thing is we talked about doing it with the landowners here, and there is no interest in losing parking places. None. None of the landowners want it because they lose two. Those things take about two parking places for every one you have now. So it eats up spaces, and parking is a premium sometimes here.
Sure.
And so the landowners have said there's no real value, and then it increases the traffic, and it encourages people to park their car for a while, for hours. Mm-hmm. And they want transient parking. They want people to come and go, buy and go.
Sure.
Right. Well, it's very hard to enforce the time limits on those things. I mean, people tell me all the time that they have problems with that.
So if you go to, say, a mall, that's one thing, but like a shopping center here, the owners are not interested in it. Restaurants, even the most longest place you'll eat is a restaurant, and in an hour you're not going to charge your vehicle that much.
Yeah. But so we might be required to do it at some point in the future.
Edison's kind of talking to us about that, but we'll let them pay for it if they do it. And then we don't own the property here, so we only own this, it's not really convenient. We don't want to put it in our property because we don't want to come in here and have people parking.
I'm just saying, they're probably going to require us to put it in.
By 2035, it'll be a different world in California.
So the balance, it's everything's different because it's a city. There's, you put in reserves, you don't put in the accumulated liabilities. And we don't have any anyway.
Our folks are a little narrower. That city council spends them, city managers spend the money. We're charged with just investing the money. And they tell us how much they're putting into investments and reserves. So there's
so one of the things we have. We should bring you up to speed a little bit. On the unfunded liability, the system is about 82 to 85%, somewhere in that range, funded. I can't tell you exactly how because I haven't looked at the numbers lately. But the city council, on advice of this group, set aside a trust fund, section $100,000 every year for the last 4 years, and there's another $100,000 for this year. So there's close to $500,000 in dedicated trust to pay off our unfunded liability. So it moves us from the 70s to the 80% funded. What we've been told by all the advisors, you don't want to get over 85% funded in your pension fund because there's variances and whatnot. So we're very comfortably and well funded compared to the state, compared to every other entity.
Cities,
so we're in most other cities. So we're in a very good situation. The council's been very conservative about setting money aside. So they put aside $100,000 each year, plus they add to reserve to keep our reserve at 50% of our operating fund every year. So we've got a $1.9 million reserve, undesignated reserve, on top of close to $500,000 for our pension contribution. So from a cash basis, we got a lot of cash.
There's opportunity to go a little bit longer term in our investing if we so desire. I mean, there's not an immediate need for cash.
No,
but there's limitations what you can invest.
Where do I get those guidelines?
That's what we're getting to, guidelines. They need to be revised again. They were revised 3 years ago, and so it's time to go over them. So I wonder if you'd like to join the committee to revise the investment guidelines, which consists of me and Joe right now, I think that's all.
Yeah. Right. Sure.
And Joe's the only one that ain't work lately. Because I can't concentrate.
But I have the city of Seal Beach, which is another smaller city,
which
and they just revised it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our investment policy was based on Anaheim's old one that was in the 1980s, I want to say.
It was in the 90s,
okay.
When they had that disaster.
The bankruptcy, so they adopted them here in the 90s. And they were very probably inappropriate for a smaller city, but at the time we really needed. But now they're just not, it's not as appropriate, so they need to, you know, the policy had been revised on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we set up the PARs and everything, we sort of expanded the time frame to 3 years, like Lynn says, but Lynn's had the lead on it. But the policy would then eventually go to, once it's approved by here and revised, go to the city council for approval, and that becomes the doctrine under which Jim invests the money.
Would you like to join the committee?
Sure, happy
in which case we will give you the current investment policy, which we want to make simpler and shorter, and then we'll give you the one that Joe's been working on from Seal Beach, and then we'll set a deadline of when we're going to do this, which, you know, obviously I'm going to have a lot of time sometime nearby. I have been spending 2-3 hours a day on this house, and it's getting done. It's getting done. So
I think the goal was to have them review it every 2 years, because that's the turnover of the council. Yeah. So we have members on it now who have never been involved in maybe reading it, much less approving it. So because we're in about 3 years because of the pandemic and because of some.
But it was the last one was a really major revision. I mean, I really went through that to get
it. I'm saying there were council members that have joined since that revision who have never, in some cases, haven't read it.
Yeah, Crystal and Chad have never seen it, for instance. So. I think they've been since we went to it last time.
Anyway,
Crystal and Chad, I think, have never seen those.
Right.
Okay.
One's a mayor and one's a mayor pro tem. So
copies of it.
So what do you think your time frame would be, Lynn?
Okay, well, I'm fine. I mean, I can do this. I've been working lately, so, I can just take the time.
Should we target for next meeting?
Yeah, let's target the next meeting. We can do that.
And then we can.
Mm-hmm. So you've already given me some input. I'll reflect on yours. We'll get his input, and then we can whip this out. It's not that big.
So our next meeting is in February, so that would be, we could go to the council. If approved, we could go to council in March.
Yeah, it really won't take that long.
You can use them, I think. Last time, maybe a year ago, I think Bill Campbell also volunteered to be on that. If you want to use him, it's up to you.
Okay. Yeah, we'll keep him on the committee, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I think that.
So you're added to the committee as well.
Okay.
And I think a lot of it, I mean, some of the government codes have changed as well. I mean, that was one of the things you pointed out, Lynn, is that the government codes that were referenced there are not even applicable anymore.
Oh, not only that, some of the investments that are referenced in that document no longer exist.
They don't exist, okay.
Some of the terminology is completely means something different now than it did.
We'll add cryptocurrency, because I'm sure we'll be.
See, that's the kind of thing I want to avoid, is we won't say you can't invest in cryptocurrency, because then it'll get dated like the other stuff did. The reverse flipped mortgage bond interest, all those.
Some of those were like, I looked at them, I go, wow.
They tried
to cover everything that you could possibly think of.
Yeah.
And I think you can be just more general.
Just say what you can invest in, not what you can't. Then we are limited to 5-year maturity, par value at maturity, things like, say the good things and don't talk about all the weird things that are possible, like cryptocurrency.
So do you think realistically we could get the council in March?
I think so, don't you?
I do.
That would be good. If Bill, we could have you and plan on the march, both of you being there, and maybe whoever, but some representatives from the committee being there, so that would be great.
March meeting. So we're going to plan on presenting it's the March meeting. So
the fourth Tuesday of the month,
right? February meeting. Okay. This, right? Okay, is there any other business? You want future ideas?
Next meeting of this committee or next meeting of the council? I missed that.
Next, the March meeting of the council for the presentation of the policy.
The February meeting.
But February would be when you guys would talk about it with this committee.
Yeah, we review it. Do we want to talk about the PARS investment next time? Or anything?
Next agenda. Right, Bill, going from moderate to high?
Yeah, I think we have to take a look at it again, maybe with a full committee here, too. So.
Okay.
Not a big change, but it's money on the table.
Good to review.
So we have about $200,000 in there now, right?
No, we have...
We're almost four now.
Over 400. We're going to 500.
Going to five.
So they put 100 in a year in the last 4 years.
And this is an outside investment.
Sometime probably after the first year.
That money.
Okay. Because under John, we basically started dollar cost averaging 25 quarters.
So he's suggesting we go from the
still working on last year's investment. Next month, we'll put the last one in.
If you read the investment policy statement, you'll see the separate statement for the pension. Basically an alternative to CalPERS, to pre-fund CalPERS.
So we go through CalPERS, okay.
We're locked into CalPERS, but then we have...
What is this then?
You could take a
portion. This is the independent investment.
Oh. This is a Section 115 trust fund that the council has set up on the advice of this group that then it's dedicated trust.
This is our trust fund. This is not...
Yes.
But it's still...
But it is.
That plus
too.
CalPERS is what...
But for the purposes of our... It counts against and it's so it, like I said, it pushes up over to 80-some-odd% funded when you count that in. So the CalPERS money we have is 70-some-odd% and that pushes up to 800.
Can I ask why they don't want us to fully fund our pension plans? Now, I can understand because we may want the federal government someday that's going to do a bailout to everybody. And if we're current, we'll lose out. But
so it's not that they don't want us to do that. It's basically, it's irrevocable. So once you put it into the pre-funding, you can't pull that back out. So if you go 110% funded, you're pre-funded extra stuff at that point. And if you look at the formulas in the CalPERS, all the assumptions that the actuaries use, maybe 50 of them, you can't predict all that. So it's a soft number when you say we're only 80% funded. You may be 100% funded, people die earlier, leave, that type of thing. So when you read the state, and the state code is important here, you read the state code, in the regular funds that we were looking at before, there's a five-year, you ask, so why don't we go longer? You can't go longer than five-year maturity. You can't go into risk capital in equities. However, and you go into your pension benefits and the pre-funding of that, the game's open. So you can do anything you want, basically. You'll see that in the code when you read the code. So it's important that the code is referenced in our investment policy statement. I think one of the things that they may come on to just use a little more modern technique instead of repeating some of the code tables in there, just put an embedded link in there, and then that goes in. So when the code changes, it still goes to an embedded link with the new changes, and you don't have to worry about that terminology and the rest. So, but these are very separate distinctions. We don't give this particular report to the council every month, because these aren't monthly investments. This is a 20-year type of investment, so you make your changes fairly slowly to make that investment.
Okay.
So this is a little more complicated.
The CalPERS is a very, I don't want to say unstable, but it's a hard to predict what their rates are going to be, obviously, and you're familiar with that. So we've always been told that your safe funding, just from a cash basis, is somewhere in the low 80s, 85. If you look at them up and down the state, not many are funded beyond 85%, and they consider that well-funded. Because it's your liabilities going forward. It's if you lock money in there, you've lost the ability to control that money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of what they do. The only city in Orange County that's paid off is Lake Forest. That's 100% funded. That's it. And they did it only because they had a developer fee. They had money that developers paid them to do a developer project, a development project, and so they've decided to dedicate money over there. It's a one-time, boom, there you are. It doesn't get them anything. It does get them something if they want to borrow money, which Lake Forest does for projects. We don't borrow anything, so there's no particular advantage to locking our money and letting it be subject to the assumptions of CalPERS and their investment practices, which is totally, we have no control whatsoever on them. They send us a bill pretty much every year.
Is that how it works?
They send us a bill, and we sort of make
it every year. Yeah.
We make a contribution. So they can change assumptions, and they'll tell you, we're changing the assumption. Our the investment rate's gone down, discount rate's gone down, so, and they lower the assumption, and it's a rolling average they use, and your contribution rate's going to go up X percent, and we're paying that X percent. So it's not something
so
that
it's
we want.
It's almost like a timeshare, huh?
pretty much.
Good analogy.
You can't choose to go into it.
So one of the things we wanted to do is be able to control our investments and put the money into. So,
got it.
So what we're doing with this, it's a Section 115 trust that's allowed by law. Right. And this group had recommended it based on, Lake Forest had done it as well. I think that's what Bill, wasn't it, Lake Forest?
The Water
idea.
District.
Water District. Water
oh,
district.
Yeah, that's where it came from.
The Water District. But anyway, it makes sense for us to be able to invest and control. It was sort of a risk 5 years to convince the council a little bit ago, but now we're into it for almost $500,000, and it's, you know, obviously put us in good financial position.
And then PARS gives you the option to have 50-50, 60-40 equity fixed type of thing. So where you pick, and Lake Forest happened to pick the all equity aggressive one, so they in the Mesa Water District guy happens to be one happened to be on the council, and he was a finance director.
So that's what we're going to rediscuss. How aggressive we want it.
Excellent.
Yeah, ask the city council.
So we have control of the investment at that point.
See, and our liabilities are limited. Like I say, we have 8 employees. Mm-hmm. So, and Jim and I are both the new PEPRA, so we're even the low income. Actually, several of us are PEPRA because of Melissa and everything.
What's PEPRA?
Yes. So we're even at the low rate. So we're not, you know, it's the older employees that you worry about there. And so our liabilities are not increasing significantly.
When did that adjustment PEPRA come in?
Was that 13?
For anybody hired after 13?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So any of our employees, so I think Alyssa, myself, and we keep the interns under 20 hours, so they're not part of it. So we are very careful about how we do things. We only have, and Miguel's another one that says, so half of our employees are PEPRA at the lowest possible rate with CalPERS.
Yeah, we have 3 on the classic or the old, and then basically 4 are on the PEPRA.
What's PEPRA?
How PEPRA
it was the
public employee something.
It was the new restrictions about how
right.
benefit, how much
retirement.
Benefit you can be given.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know what the rates are, but it's like it used to be 2.5 or whatever, and then they capped that down to
1.8 or something.
1.7.
I think you're 2%. I think
2%.
Maybe 2. Yeah.
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 They're 2% at 55 for the classics, and then for the peppers, I think you're 2.62.
Something like that. But we don't have law enforcement or fire because we contract with them. So their pension is built into their rates that, well, for law enforcement. For fire, we're part of a structural fire fund. Mm-hmm. Our property tax goes over there directly, so we don't even have that issue for us. So we really don't have.
I think they're 3% at 50. The old guys.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Fire is the best
of the
public employee
salary
group.
So we are in a situation where just the financial liabilities for the city of Villa Park are somewhat, you know, we've always paid for major capital expense. Like we do a big street project, we do it on a cash basis. We build up our cash over 2 years, we do a 2 year cycle. Like this year, we're designing our project for $70,000. We'll collect a lot of money that we have extra, so our fund balance will then throw it into the project the following year, and we'll spend $1 million to $2 million on a street project. So we do it on a cash basis. So we're a very conservative city with regards to that. I think John Morlock used to do a study every year, and our liabilities, we were like the 12th best city in the state or something along those lines.
I remember that.
As far
12th?
As, yeah.
Why so low?
Yeah, well, right.
You got some of the cities like Marin and some of those just
higher tax base.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So anyway, but we're in very good shape for a size of our city and everything, and for the service level. So anyway, that's one of the things we do have been very conservative about. I know we've got one of the highest reserves in the county as far as a percentage of our operating. So we're in good shape. Knock on wood. For instance, we had a flood channel broke Mesa Henderson in 2017. That cost about $1.9 million. So the $1.9 million can go with just one instance. And FEMA didn't fully reimburse, and their insurance didn't fully reimburse. So we ended up paying a lot of our general fund to pay for that. So we want to keep that money around, and the council guards it judiciously.
Mm-hmm. Had a heck of a neighbor to deal with there. Huh?
Yes, it was a treat. They settled.
Well, they still haven't finished putting up.
It's all been settled. So
they haven't fixed it.
But she's got the money.
Yeah, she's in that.
The pool.
Does she live right by you?
No, but I know the Fassbenders are right next
to
her.
Oh, she's suing the Fassbenders. She's suing them over the tree cut.
Oh, my God.
She's an interesting. She used to run not a B&B, but pretty close at her house. She was having people come stay at her house from the Philippines or whatever. And she's just...
I mean, we're just farther up on Brewer Way, but, I mean, we walk by there all the time. And still, she hasn't done a thing. The house itself is...
We're not obligated, but eventually, we have to be careful. We will start holding her because she's not code enforcement. Mm-hmm. She's got to clean up the fences and things. Yeah. But we've been told we can't do it right away because the courts will say that's retaliation.
Yeah, got it.
So we can't... We got to be like, okay, they've settled, and the insurance company settled, so we have to be careful about... But we are getting there. Yeah. And the neighbor next door and her are having a dispute because they filled in the property over the channel there.
Yeah.
And he wanted a fence, and she and he were arguing, so the neighbor came to us, and we're not disputing it between neighbors. Yeah. So she's just a challenge to deal with.
Why do mediation? Maybe that will be one to know.
We're done. We're done dealing with it, so.
Yeah.
So anyway, in answer to your question, We are a very simple city as far as finances. We don't have a lot of liabilities. We're very conservative in the way we approach our spending patterns. But we do have the cash available. We do need to invest wisely and be judicious about how we control it. We want to obviously get the most out of what we can for the city. So
when there is an unexpected event, it's a bigger deal because we have smaller numbers as a city. So that's why we have some reserves. Yeah.
It is a requirement, Mike, of new members to this committee to read all of the regulations.
Actually.
Oh, man.
It's coming.
Yeah, go ahead and look at our CAFR when you're having trouble sleeping. Yeah. Yeah, we do. We do all the audits. Everyone else does. So they're all there. It's all done. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Okay, so for new members... That down here near the end, then, if we have anybody that we can think of, I mean, could we circulate that ahead of time? Or
just go out there and bug them. Really? We have tried so hard to fill this committee over the years.
I go see if they're interested first before I submit the name.
Right. I meant to do that. I just meant that if we have somebody that seems
and
like
beg
possible.
And, you know, and
well, it could be
lie.
You know, you have an opinion that, well,
it's nice if I make a phone call, they know what I'm calling about.
Yeah. And as you advised me years ago, don't get any big shots because they don't come to the meetings.
Right.
Well, we were very fortunate.
This is not a prestige committee.
We had the
He was
director of administration
Chapman. Three guys.
And he was
chief operating officer,
and his schedule was just horrendous. Yeah. So.
He was only CFO when he was appointed, to be fair.
But he could only make one out of
CFO?
Of Chapman University. And he came to Bell Park and he loved it and he was so happy. And I asked him to join and he said he'll never be able to come to the meetings. And sure enough, he always...
But, you know, so we want to make sure that somebody's coming in. And it's not a big commitment. It's a couple times. It's four times
four
a year.
Yeah.
And for an hour, plus any extra, like, work that's along the sides. But...
Yeah.
It's generally a non, you know, but it's an unpaid, uncompensated, not a high prestige type of. It's just a public service that helps us a lot, helps Jim and myself a lot, and
you know, as is Bill's treasurer position. It's
as is city council members. Yeah. Yeah. They're not getting paid anyway, so we're the only city that doesn't pay them.
No benefits. We have no benefits, nothing.
Their payment.
The only city in Orange County?
We have no benefits.
Was Orange before. Orange had didn't pay, and I think
that they've decided to opt in to go and pay.
Tustin raised theirs. So it's the only city that's a volunteer city council.
Fully volunteered, no.
So you don't get much sympathy for them saying, well, this
no stipend or anything. Were you around for that, right? Were you around for
Absolutely.
That?
No, well, there never was a stipend. Okay. There never was. In fact, we are the reason Orange used to have one, and then because we didn't have it or something, they ended up saying, well, we won't do it, now they went back.
Yeah,
I was in the budget committee, City of Orange, for about 4 years during the 90s, and also Anaheim, I was on that. We never got paid.
Most of them have a stipend per meeting or something, or insurance, as they medical insurance or whatever. And the only thing the city does is if a council member wants to get insurance through this, they have the ability to get it through the insurance at their full expense. So in other words, the city pays nothing. They just have access to our plan. So several of them, and once they get off the council, they can continue doing that if they pay their own way again. So that's sort of the option, and many of these council members are self-employed, so several of them will opt in because it just makes sense for them to be able to do that. But we don't pay anything, and they require them to pay monthly and all that kind of stuff. So it's a, like I say, it's just a volunteer service. But with only 6,000 residents in the city, you know, it's not a lot of them. So.
Anything else that we should...
Our next meeting is February 9th at 8 a.m. If you're all good with that, we'll keep that and lock it in ink.
Fine. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Is there anything anybody else wants to put in? We can talk, by the way, if you need... I mean, I'm available.
Okay.
9 o'clock. You're done in an hour.
She did it.
Yeah, it's perfect. You did great.
Well, what?
Excellent.
Yeah. We didn't have much to do. Okay. Yes, I can be fast, like Bill. So it's always like to the minute. That's good.
It's important. Okay. So Lynn, I want to talk to you when you got a second about school stuff.
Okay.
Nothing. This is fun stuff. This is not bad stuff.
Are you Mike or Michael?
Mike. Unless you're my mother, then it's my
turn. Oh, that was a good one. I like that.
In trouble.
That's funny
with your mother.
Yeah. Or when the wife's mad at you, right?
No, then there's silence.
Oh.
Different
that was the worst. Yeah, right.
Oh, boy.
How long have you been married?
35 years.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Nice. Yeah. Yikes, yeah.
Why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background? Because
I'm an accountant. Always wanted to be an accountant. Started out, I was going to join the CPA firm and go that direction because that's all they teach you. And then I went on an interview in college with this place called LA County Department of Health Services, just get my interview skills going. Well, they offered $1,472 a month salary. CPA firms were paying about $890 a month. 2 years of slave.
Yeah, 2 years
and
of slave labor.
And I kept rejecting offer after offer after offer. And this guy, Don Petit, called and told me about enterprise accounting, a new accounting system. And he intrigued me. And I went, and I joined LA County Department of Health Services. After a year there, I said, you know what? There's a lot more accounting opportunities than just public accounting. And healthcare is going to be here forever. I think I want to stay in there. So I moved into hospitals, started, you know, doing accounting, budgeting, and all that in hospitals. And then went with physician groups. And I said, you know what? Now I've done this, let me try the for-profit, because I like the not-for-profits. I found out the for-profit sectors, they're not... good people, you know.
Well, wait a minute.
let me rephrase that. Their desire is too short-term. They're planning. It's to make a buck, at least in the healthcare industry. So I got out of that and went back into public accounting, then did a lot of work with the homeless. I used to work at Skid Row in L.A., set up all the health facilities there, and work with incarcerated youth, et cetera, et cetera. And then I got to the point, speaking of investments, where I grew our little not-for-profit too much to the point where I exhausted the line of credit with the bank we had. And when I went to my wife, I said, "Dear, can we take out a line of credit on our house?" She said, "Why?" "Make certain we cover payroll. If I miss payroll, many of the homeless I hired would go back on the streets." That's when she said, "It's time for a new job." So then I went to USC, Department of Medicine, and ended up working with their medical group there and became the vice chair of finance and administration. Had, 578 employees. And it was a lot of fun for 20 years.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
We grew significantly, and it was time to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. When I couldn't remember all 578 employees' salaries for 5 years, I said, "It's time to go." Mm-hmm. So,
how long have you lived in Villa Park?
About 29 years now.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So I listen to you talk about the construction folks, and I'm sympathetic because I bought my house, took 10 months before I could move in.
Why? I
gutted it, redid everything.
Lynn's got longer than 10 months on you.
I built from my horse stable up.
Okay.
Actually, the horse stable was long gone.
So you're right there on Mesa?
Canyon Crest.
Okay.
You know Savala?
I walked every street. I walk every morning.
The cul-de-sac down behind Mesa.
There. Okay. Been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've probably seen the house.
It's the new
house. It's white. It's the white one.
You don't have anything to do with those three new homes going on?
No, that's Chris Felix is doing that.
Okay.
He's the one that has the really pretty house on Alice, corner of Alice and Lemon, mm-hmm. the picket fence.
Yeah.
He's the one moving in.
He's building a house for his kids and himself.
Two
and
houses.
Three houses. His two daughters, and he'll have.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
A step down. Yeah.
And then he's going to sell his house on Lemon and
Alice.
Yeah.
Excellent. So yeah, I wanted to get that corner lot on Valley and Center to build the Rice family compound.
Oh,
yeah.
But he wasn't interested in selling.
Oh, the big lot.
The big lot. 4 or 5 acres.
Overgrown, and
that is, if you look at that, there's
coyotes and bobcats.
Yeah. If you look in there, there's a picture of that of the tower in there of that's in the 1900s, early 1900s.
Wow. Is that original?
Yeah, it's original, that's still original. So you can actually, if you've been in there, you look like, wait a minute, that looks exactly it is. There's a picture in the hallway of it.
Yeah, you can see it looking over the fence.
Yeah, it's kind of it used to overlook the orchards.
Interesting,
yeah.
Okay. So
a person's still living in there, huh?
There's a person.
Yeah. Old guy, right?
Yeah, it's an older man. I want to say he was a dentist or something.
He wasn't. Well,
might have been a dentist.
You ever not a dentist once you are? But yes.
Okay, he's a dentist. Sorry, right?
Yeah, right. So I was a lot next to you.
Yeah.
I bought it, Nina.
You bought the property next to you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's so they wouldn't develop it, right?
My husband was driving me nuts. You know, he's like, "Well, what if they do this? And I said, just go ahead, bye.
So that only leaves, does that leave one?
We're like about this far from bankruptcy now. At midnight tonight, hopefully that will change. We're getting a loan.
No, okay.
We've been trying to pay for all this.